Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast spoken peace to our hearts and given us the promise of eternal life in Him. Help us as we study Thy Word to understand Thy ways in Christ Jesus, that we might walk with Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we are finding the Lord Jesus Christ is reported as moving in and out among men, doing things that will show His power, doing things that will encourage people to trust in Him, and always doing them for the welfare of people and to restore them to some sort of normal function of their personalities. Another such instance is before us now. If you will turn in chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, and look at certain verses. It'll be verses 18 and 19 and verses 23 to 26. Is a certain story that we want to look at. Let me read it to you. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. When it says that this ruler came, worshipped him, he appreciated him. He bowed down before him and treated him as being very important. When he says, My daughter is even now dead, he means she's just died. She has just now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. You come, put thy hand on her, and you can raise her from the dead. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, you and I might wonder about that, about the minstrels and the people making a noise. It was the custom. They were mourning, and they would have people there who would play mournful tunes so that they would be singing songs of lament. It was part of the mourning that people did whenever there was a death. And this death had occurred, and so these people had been arranged for, and they came and conducted a prolonged service of lament, is what this would be. And so when he came there and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, which is make room for us, make room for me, move aside. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. I expect that expression, give place, could very well be, and I'm sure he would say it in a nice enough way, it would very well be, please move outside. Please give us this room here. This girl is not dead. She's just sleeping. But they laughed, and they laughed him to scorn. They knew she was dead, and they just laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. That's the story. Now let's look at it just step by step and see what is being recorded here for us. Let's keep in mind, these records were put together for our learning. They're reported just this way to teach us something. I know they're astonishing. I know they're amazing, but they're put right here for us to see. Among other things, we're to understand that God can raise the dead. Here it is. Watch it and see. So this man came and says, My daughter has just now died, but you can raise her. If you stop to think about it, this will show you the faith of that ruler. The faith in Jesus Christ. The confidence he had in Jesus Christ. He didn't come to him as a matter of routine. He didn't come to him because just a nice thing to do and go and talk to another man about the death of someone in the family. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ because he really believed. He had reason to. I expect it's someone that's heard the Lord Jesus preaching. I expect this is someone who has heard the Lord Jesus preaching, been much impressed by it. So when this death takes place in the family, he calls for him. Or rather goes to him and tells him, My daughter is even now dead, but you could raise her. That shows that kind of faith. that the leper had when he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this is what the kind of faith this person had. You're reminded of the centurion's servant who said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This is the kind of confidence these people had who received blessing from God. If you stop to think of it, that kind of faith honors God. They felt if God was in it, he could do it. It honors the Lord Jesus Christ. They felt if God was with him, he could do it, and they believed that God was with him. So they came and asked for him, and he went to the home. And when he saw the situation, saw the people that were there mourning and so on, he said to them, give place, she's not dead, just sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. And in a way, you know, this is really our great hope, really, so far as you and I are concerned. Because amongst us today, those of us who really try to get to know the gospel and know the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that God's got to do for us more than we can ask or think. We realize we can't leave it to human nature. It's got to be God that does it. We can read the promises, and we see the promises, and then when we try to apply them, and in the light of the promises, actually to bring our own personal case before the Lord, we are so, at times, we're so depressed with the feeling that it's impossible. Now, take this case. Now, so far as this girl was concerned, she was dead. And it would be impossible for her to be raised from the dead. But this man, this ruler, had evidently had such dealing with Christ that he had confidence in him. And he came and asked him. Now, when he came there, when the Lord Jesus came to this house and met these mourners present, and to get rid of them, told them, the maid isn't really dead, she's just sleeping, they laughed him to scorn. I've gone over this the second time because in connection with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are from time to time scorned because we believe things that are just in the minds of others. They just are too much. They just don't believe it. Notice that in connection with this, when we're thinking about it, the maid was actually dead. Now, he put it the way in which he did, but we have no reason to doubt that the maid was actually dead, because what we're going to see here is that he could actually raise the dead. That's what we're going to notice. By the way, you and I might just keep this in mind. Although the Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead here, and he raised the dead again when he raised Lazarus from the dead, there's no evidence that the Lord Jesus went around the country and just raised all the people from the dead. There's no evidence that he went to every place where anybody died and stopped them from having a funeral because he could bring that person back to life, even though he did it. But he never did it for show, and it was not really primarily what God wanted to have done. What I mean by that is, he could do a thing like that by way of illustration, but the real thing that he was illustrating is going on now, and that is that God can change individuals who believe in him and can raise them from the dead. And this is our great hope. Just as this maid was actually dead, I might feel in myself that I am actually dead. And just as he could raise the dead there physically, I can believe in him. It encourages me to believe in him that he can raise the dead in me spiritually. Another thing of notice in this story that is important, and I think we want to be sure to get its meaning, the people were put out. That is to say, they were put out of the house. The people who scoffed, the people who scorned, were simply told to wait outside. Those that were not believers were simply put out. And what I notice from that is, there are some things that the unbelievers will never know. Oh, how easy it would be for you and for me to have this sort of an idea. Since we know that God will destroy the wicked, and since we know that God will favor the righteous, there's such a tendency on our part to try and figure it out in some such way that everybody will see how God will bless the righteous, and everyone will see how God will destroy the wicked. The Bible doesn't encourage us to do that. The Bible doesn't encourage us to believe that we'll even see the destruction of the wicked, because the people who are righteous will say on occasion that they'll never see the destruction of the wicked. They'll see only the blessing of God. But certainly the other thing is true. People who are unbelievers, blatant or scornful unbelievers, I feel almost like saying to them, they won't need to worry about being pestered with the gospel, because actually, as long as they're in that frame of mind, nothing's going to be presented to them. God doesn't undertake to convince the unwilling person. If you have somebody who is an actual unbeliever and is careless about it and doesn't care, it could very well be he'll be that way to the end of the chapter. There'll be nothing happen to him. And some of us will have in mind, of course, that there are those of us who have had doubts and we have had questions in mind and heart and the like of that, and yet God has dealt with us. Yes, God knows the heart, and he knows when a person is sincere. He understands the sincere people who can't believe. He knows a humble and a contrite heart. In my lifetime, I've met some people that couldn't believe at the time I was talking to them, but they were very quiet about it. They didn't make any big show. On the other hand, I've met people who have said foolish things. The kind of man who says, I just don't see God round about me. The kind of man who would say, I was out high up in space and I looked around and I didn't see God. And then comes down and reports it as if that were something important. Now, so far as God is concerned, he won't do anything to specially convince that man specially. He doesn't cause sudden things to happen to convince the unbelievers. The great things of God are revealed to his own. And when the time comes for God to do some great good thing, he oftentimes sees to it that the unbelievers are simply put out and the believers are gathered together and shown. It's so simple when you come to think of it that those who believe in him will be saved. And it's so profound, because it is true that those who do not believe will not be saved. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to profit by this. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.